So, April 27th, on a Wednesday at night, I was going home and I met three guys who wanted to mug me. And I almost lost my life. And that was one of the events that turned my life. And afterwards, it was after a few months that I got saved. And when I got saved in 2016, I had a desire to understand the scriptures. I had a great desire to understand the scriptures, and I got my first job in Kenya. This is stunning. I got my first job in 2016. I worked in Kenya for 3 years and got an intra-company transfer to New York in 2019. So I worked as a financial auditor for 2 years, close to 2 years, in New York. And during that season of my life, my desire for scripture was growing. I loved the Lord, and my desire for ministry was growing. I was getting some affirmations from the church that I was attending. I was getting trials in life. They are good in life because they win you off the world. And I had this great desire that I wanted to join ministry. So this is what I did. I knew John MacArthur way back from Kenya because I had listened to his YouTube sermons. So I bought his New Testament commentary, the MacArthur New Testament commentary, and I was going to head back to Kenya, get attached into a local church, and start serving. COVID-19 hits. And in 2020, people were not flying. People were so scared. I was in New York. We were in New York. And flights were so cheap. And you can do whatever you want to do with that information, but we saw a chance to travel, and I traveled to Florida, and I also traveled to California, okay, because I wanted to travel, okay? And when I came to that December of 2020 to Grace Community Church, it was a piece of heaven. I really loved everything about Grace Community Church. People were so gracious to me, and, you know, I remember hearing that they give, you know, one free book for new visitors. Okay. So I decided I want to get this free book. And so after the service, I went to one of the brothers and told him, hey, I know you guys give out free books. I want to get a free book. But everything had shut down. So because of COVID-19, they had not opened, you know, when Tom Patton says, to my right, to my left, you know, just go and get a free book. It was closed. And so what I did is I went and talked to a brother who directed me to Mark Z, Dr. Zekevich. And Mark Zekevich, you know him. The name Zekevich rings a bell, right? There are so many of them, you can't keep track. And Dr. Z was so gracious to me because he told me, hold on, wait. He went and got a book signed by John MacArthur and brought me that book. And that broke my heart. That, like, it was like, this is it. You know, I wanted to meet John MacArthur. I wanted a photo with him. And I asked, at that point, because there were some brothers who were asking me to apply for seminary, I told Mark Z, hey, man, I'm just thinking about applying for seminary. This is on a Sunday. Mark Z is busy. And he had time. You know, he encouraged me, and he gave me his email. And he told me, once you start the process of applying for seminary, email me. And I went and I started the process. That is in December. So I head back to New York. And by now, my desire is I need to quit my job. I need to go back and start serving. And the brothers were encouraging me to apply for seminary. And so I applied for seminary. April, the last day of April, was my last day in the U.S. No job, going home back to Kenya. Done. And that's when I, you know, packed everything. I was going to go spend some time in a friend's house who would take me to the airport the following day. And that evening, that's when I got accepted at TMS. I got the acceptance letter that you have been accepted to TMS. You know, we know that the calling is a high calling. You know how they say it. And so I got accepted at TMS. And now, in my mind, I have now to change my mind again, because I was going to Kenya to start a different life. Now I have to go and plan to come back in August. And I was avoiding seminary because I didn't have the resources to do that. I didn't have the finances to pay for my seminary and everything. But anyway, I went back home and I came in August. So I came in LA in 2021 for seminary, August of 2021. And here's a funny story of how I found myself at Sojourners. I went to Foundations one day on a Friday, and guess who I saw? Pastor Joe. No, I mean, it was Maxi, but now it was a different Zekevich, you know. And I, you know, Joe has a great smile, and he smiled and came to me, and he was so gracious to me, and he took time and talked to me, and, you know, I knew that he was from Sojourners, and I decided to visit Sojourners. And here's the thing. I realized that everyone at Sojourners have their favorite spot. There's somewhere that people sit. We are creatures of habit. So I came on one Sunday, and I sat next to Wayne Hoft. And I have been sitting there since then. So here's a funny story with Wayne, because when I sat next to him, I thought, I know this man. I have seen him before. And I'm trying to remember where I saw him. And it was, he is the one who interviewed me for membership down there, you know, when you apply for membership. So, and here's a funny story when he interviewed me, because he was asking me, how did you get saved? And I'm saying all this theological stuff, but I was missing one word. And I was saying, you know, I was a sinner and Jesus Christ died for me, you know, perfect righteousness, all those good stuff by faith. And I think I'm covering my ground, but Wayne was not. He wasn't satisfied with my answer, and he's asking me, so you were saved by? And I would say, Jesus Christ? And he would, that's yes, but I'm not looking for that. And, you know, he decided to give me a hint. What is the name of this church? Grace. And I said, Grace. And he was, you got it, you know, you got it. And and when I sat next to him, you know, the register that they passed by, they passed the register, and I took it as if it was given to me to pass it over. And when I passed it, Wayne leaned over and asked me, did you sign? I thought he was asking a question. You know, those are the statements that people make, but they want you to act on that statement. And I leaned forward and I said, no, I did not. And Wayne took a couple of seconds and he said, naughty boy. And I knew what he meant by that. So I picked the Sojourner list and I signed. And that's how I got stuck at Sojourners. And I have here's an additional blessing. Wayne has been booking for me a seat every Sunday when he's here. So I don't get to leave midway the sermons at when Pastor John is preaching to come and book a seat. Wayne has been booking a seat for me since then. And it has been a joy to be, you know, to just sit next to Wayne. Moving back to Kenya in 2014, this is my third year here in LA, and I am headed back to Kenya in December. And I don't know whether you know where Kenya is. Kenya is in Africa. Hey, Africa is a continent. Kenya is a country, okay? It takes 22 hours and 15 minutes, the fastest flight, to fly from Kenya to California. And I have had very interesting questions. When people hear that you're from Africa or Kenya, they have all these questions. And I kid you not, they are the best questions. I love the questions. When I say I'm from Kenya, you know, people ask me, do you run? Because Kenya is known to produce. That's what they do. Like, do you run? And sometimes I have to say yes, but qualify that it's only when I'm running away from my problems. That's the only time I run. Here's a very innocent question that people have asked me. This is very innocent. I categorize this as a bonding question. Someone hears that I'm from Kenya, and they know someone from South Africa, or they know someone from Nigeria. A certain James, and they ask me, do you know them? And in my mind, I'm trying to sort through to see whether I know James, and I have to say, sorry, Africa has 1.5 billion people. I can't remember everyone. But here is one. I don't even know. I don't even know whether I understand how to categorize this. I was describing houses in Africa, in Kenya, and someone very concerned, you know, and he looked at me and asked me, do houses in Kenya have windows? I up to now, I have never, I think it was a philosophical question, something that, because it's not like, you learn from the elephant and you're looking at houses and you're asking, you know, but it just shows the biases that people have towards Africa in general. This is the flag of Kenya. And if you need to know the colors and what it means, you can come see me after this presentation. Now, I want to give you some five fun facts, true facts about Kenya. Kenya is a place that is known for game drives. If you want to do the best safari, if you are not captivated by captivity, if you don't like seeing animals in cages, you want to see them in the jungle, you come visit Kenya and I will hook you up with one of the best game drives in Kenya. Number two, we produce some of the best long-distance runners, marathon. Hint, I am not one of them. I don't. There's a specific tribe that has monopolized marathon running, and I'm not from that tribe. We produce some of the best coffee in the world. Good coffee. Ironic. We don't drink coffee. We drink. So we export coffee. We were colonized by the British, and so we love our tea. So we enjoy our tea. And number four, we have 68 languages in Kenya. On average, if someone can speak English, it's probably their third language. I'm speaking my third language. I speak my local mother tongue. I speak Swahili, which is the national language, and English as the official language. And last, but not least, Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. This is a Swahili phrase. This is Swahili. It means no worries. Okay? Simba is Swahili for lion. And Pumba, if you want to know what it means, I can share that with you. There's some of the things that I can share with you. Africa is a huge continent. Africa has 1.5 billion souls. 1.5 billion human beings. And the trajectory is growing. That means there's 20%, close to 20% of the world's population. That there is a mission field. There is so much work to be done. And when we see those numbers, and we just think about what is happening there, and that there are souls that are perishing, we cannot but get the desire to want to go back and take the good news to them. 63% of these people identify as Christians. That is the latest estimate. 63% identify as believers, and 30% of them identify as Muslims. So that means like 900 million people identify as believers, okay? Out of those, about 500 million people identify as Protestants, okay? And 300 million people identify as Catholics. Now, you're going and we're winning. We have 500 million people saved. Hold on a minute. We're going to talk about that. Matthew 28 is a verse about the Great Commission. We all know this. And I want to read this. It says, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. See, the numbers, they can motivate you. You know, lost souls can drive you to go and share the gospel. But this here is the clarion call. This is what drives us. We go out to share the gospel because Christ has commanded us to go out and share the gospel. I am not going because there's so many people out there. That is good. I am not going because there's so much dire need there. That is true, and that's a good reason. But the reason why I want to go back is because Christ has commanded me to go out there and make disciples of all nations. Amen. That is what he says. And let me pause here, because I don't know whether we understand the implications of what Jesus Christ is saying here. I don't know whether we do understand. He says, all authority has been given to me. All authority, not some, not most of it. He says, all authority has been given to me, and all means all. And that's all that all means. That's what a wise man said. All authority has been given to the Messiah. And not only in heaven, it says, all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus Christ has all the authority. And because of that, he says, therefore. And the same wise man said, if you see a therefore, you have to ask yourself, why is it therefore? And he says, go therefore, make disciples. Jesus Christ makes a claim. And then he issues a command. Because I have all the authority in heaven and on earth, I want you to do something. I am commanding you to go and make disciples of all nations. I am commanding you to go and baptize them. And I am commanding you to go and teach them to obey all that I have commanded. This command flows from a reality that Christ has conquered and that he has overcome and that he has all the authority. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. He says that I am with you to the end of the age. It doesn't get better. A command sandwiched between two glorious truths. A claim, a command, and a promise. How can we fail? How can we not go while Christ has promised that he will be with us to the end of the age? This for me is far greater, a higher clarion call than even the numbers or than even seeing successes or anything. This is greater. And that's why I'm headed to Kenya. That is why I want to go and serve in East Africa. How does ministry look like in Africa? It is grim. It doesn't look nice. 50% of those people who identify as believers, as Protestants, believe in prosperity gospel. They believe, and do not be deceived, just because there's a word gospel, do not be deceived that it is a gospel, because it is a different gospel, as we will see. This prosperity gospel, this is the fruit of all the other challenges that we are facing. The greatest danger is the prosperity gospel. And this is caused by lack of biblical churches. We do not have a shortage of churches in Africa. It is not hard for you to go in one street and find five churches with huge speakers, each directing to each other, but they are not biblical churches. That is a challenge that we are having. And the other challenge is that we do not have biblical resources. We don't have. I can tell you that if you have books here, you probably have more books than 90% of the pastors in Africa. You have better equipped libraries than the pastors in Africa. And there's no training. And we will see that. Now, what is wrong with prosperity gospel? Everything. Everything is wrong with prosperity. Look at that. These are just a few images. She's calling herself a reverend. Okay? And she's inviting people for a supernatural debt cancellation session. Like, that's what they preach. You come, we have a supernatural debt cancellation night. That sounds like some of your politicians. If you want your college debt to be canceled, it sounds like that. But that's what people are promised. And the other one says, this is a night of wealth transfer. This is the kind of, and he's calling himself a prophet. A night of wealth transfer. Why is it being transferred from, you know? The only place that they transfer is from those people who are listening to their own pockets. And we have so much bad theology. This guy says that Job suffered because he did not tithe. And he's saying that so that he can ask you to tithe. That is what they do. That is what prosperity gospel does. And it is not a gospel at all, because it's no longer about sin. It's no longer about repentance. It's no longer about eternal life. No, it is about temporary material benefits. It's about here and now. It's about good health, success, good careers. And it has, this is the devil's work in Africa. This is what he's doing in Africa. He has entered the church and people are just preaching this even without knowing. This is one of the biggest challenges that we are facing in Africa. Prosperity gospel. God is reduced into a transactional deity. You give, God will bless you. You worship him, he will bless you with material wealth. You worship him, you will have good health. That is the gospel that is preached there. This goes contrary to what the Bible teaches, that God is gracious, that we are saved by grace and through faith. And that's one of the challenges that we are facing. Now, what is causing that? That is caused by one, lack of biblical churches. So this photo is, this, we went to, I won't do that. So we went for a conference. But you can see, the pastor who pastors this church, the above church, zero training. What is he going to train his people? What is he going to teach? He said that I have been pastoring for like 15 years, and he said, I didn't know what the Lord's table is. I didn't even know what baptism is. And he has been a pastor for all those years. And so he can tell you the kind of churches that are there. We don't have sound biblical resources. I'm going to go back. This young man here, I know you can't see him, but on that end there, he's 25 years old, and he is a senior pastor of a church that has over 150 people. And 25 years, and he said, in my church, we have like three copies of the Bible, old copies of the Bible. Three tattered Bibles. How many Bibles do you have in your house? Or maybe I should ask, how often do you read your Bible? But I won't ask that. But how many copies of scriptures do you have? They don't have books. And not only that, when we went there, they said, we love, some of them know John MacArthur, and they're in the interior. And they said, we love John MacArthur. But if we can get the study Bible in Swahili, we would be highly favored. This would serve us. They want the study Bible in Swahili because there's no Swahili resources. You know why there's no Swahili resources? Because the market does not support that. Because people do not buy books, so no one is producing book for that market. That is the challenge. Swahili is a national language in Tanzania and in Kenya, and we will look at some statistics. But the other thing is lack of biblical training. Pastors are not trained. 85% of pastors in Africa are not trained. 85% of pastors in Kenya, they have not been trained. And you're sitting here, and you have a wealth of, it's so much blessings. The Bible studies are led by seminary-trained students. Lay people who have been trained, who are so equipped. You have some of the best minds that we have right now in terms of Christianity. And this is what your brothers and your sisters are languishing in Kenya and in Africa. This is what they're facing. where you face the trials of traffic and all those kind of trials. Some people do not have that. So what are the ministry needs in Kenya? All those, you can look at them as problems, but all those are ministry opportunities. And I tried to get an outline, like a faithful Baptist preacher. 3 points, starting with a T, ending with a word. There is need for teaching the word. There's need for translation. And there's need in training those pastors. All that is needed. Now, granted, you know, you look ahead and you see so much work that needs to be done. And you can lose heart, right? You can lose heart. What will someone do? But see, we only need to be faithful and move the ball a few yards. That's what needs to happen. So teaching the word of God. There needs to be sound preaching and sound teaching of the word of God. And I am so grateful for being part of Grace Community Church. There are so many great allies. We have so many ministries, TMAI, ARC. And I want to thank people who've been giving especially to these ministries, to TMAI. I know some of you that have funded directly some of the projects that we are working on through TMAI. And I just want to encourage you guys. This is the Great Commission. This is the Great Commission. Some of you will never leave LA. Some of you will never go. But there are some people who will go. There are some people who will put some of these translations and all that. And you need to take a part in that. That is a huge blessing. We went for some conferences in 2022. We got some pastors around, preach, share the gospel, allow them to ask questions. This is some of the conferences that we've had. And you can see, again, Zekevich, they're just everywhere. They're just everywhere. But you can see Mark Z, he came and taught a very great session and good questions from the pastors. They are hungry for the word. And you can see Dr. Hargrove, he went, he also did a conference in Africa. What a blessing that, you know, this church is doing even to those parts of the country. The next ministry opportunity is translating the word. There needs to be translations. The Bible, I'm working on a project, and I'll talk about that project later. But even the Swahili Bible that exists needs to be updated. It needs to be updated to reflect the correct interpretation and translation of the text. There needs to be commentaries translated into Swahili so that pastors can know how to prepare sermons. There needs to be books, theological books. There needs to be sermons translated into Swahili. We do not have. I mean, you guys can go into a vault and listen to 20 different pastors. We don't have that. We don't have that. And we need that. Swahili language has over 200 million speakers. It is one of the top 10 spoken languages in the world. And there's a renewed push to make it the sort of a continental language. Now, 200 million Swahili speakers without a solid study Bible, without solid sermons that they can listen to in their language, without solid books that they can read in their languages, is a tragedy, right? And that is why the Lord has been so kind to us. This is the MacArthur Study Bible. And God has been so gracious to us because TMAI funded this project to put the MacArthur Study Bible into Swahili. And we started working on the project last year. And we're done with this project. It is in the design layout stage. This is a blessing. This is an amazing blessing. And I'm just praying, and I want you guys to pray that it would go into the hands of those people and that they would read and understand and grow in their faith. And You know, I understand that a student is not greater than his teacher. and Pastor Joe has been so gracious to teach me Hebrew, you know. And I know, I don't know whether he knows Swahili. I will not judge him, but I wanna read for him a verse in Swahili. I want to read for him a verse in Swahili. And I want you guys to tell me whether some of the Swahili words, you can tell, some of them you can tell. Yohana. What does that sound? Yohana? John, right? Yohana mlango wa tatu, mstari wa kumi na sita. John 3. Kwa maana jinsi hii, Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu, hata akamtoa mwanawe wa pekee, ili kila mtu amwaminie asipotee, bali awe na uzima wa milele. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the message that we preach. And I just want to pause here. I know in a congregation of this so many people, I know that there might be someone who is not a believer here today. I know that you've been coming to Sojourners, to Grace Community Church. You've had sermons over and over and over again, but you have never turned away from your sins. This is the message that we proclaim, that God sent his only begotten Son so that you can have your sins forgiven. Forget about the PowerPoint. We preach the gospel so that you might have your sins forgiven. And the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time, not yesterday, not tomorrow. You are commanded to repent and turn away from your sins and believe in the only Savior that God sent in the world. Listen to how Jesus Christ ended that portion of John 3. In verse 36, he says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides in him." If you do not know Christ, the wrath of God hangs on you. And at any moment, it will fall on you. And I am calling you that you need to turn away from your sins and believe in the gospel. You need to turn away from your sins and believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The MacArthur Study Bible. We have been privileged to do more projects. Again, through TMAI. This is the Fundamentals of the Faith. We have finished the Fundamentals of the Faith, the Teacher's Guide and the Student's Guide. I know so many of you have benefited from the Fundamentals of the Faith. It is such a wonderful blessing to go through these projects and to know that they will go out there and strengthen believers. And one of the testimony of the Fundamentals of the Faith is that people come here thinking that they are saved and they go through the Fundamentals of the Faith and they end up being saved. That's amazing, right? And we want to put it into the hands of pastors and lay people as much as we can. The other project is called Kujifunza Kifafanuzi, Expository Study. This is a book that helps pastors walk down a text, break it down, and come up with a sermon, which is another huge blessing that we have. But we have future projects that we want to work on. We have the New Testament commentary by John MacArthur. We need to put that into the hands of pastors. We need to serve the next generation. We need to train those young ones at that age so that they can discern errors and the truth. And we need to do the translations of the Generations of Grace. And we need to do a translation of John MacArthur's sermon. Some of you will ask me, why can't you just go and preach? Well, because he preached 40 years, and we can translate it in a few years. And it's being done anyway. East Africa is more of a listening culture. And people love listening to their radios. And the reason why Prosperity Gospel has taken off like a storm is because those, I refrain from using harsh language, but those false teachers, they have radio stations, they have TV stations, and they take that thing into the bedrooms of those people because they listen to them in their bedrooms, in their radio stations. There's no solid sermons that people can listen to. And we need to put these sermons out there so that people can hear the truth and learn to identify errors, counterfeit, and the original, and grow in the faith. Training in the Word of God. Remember, we need to teach, we need to do translations, and we need to train. Now, one of the things that I will be doing, Lord willing, when I go back to Kenya, is not only teaching, is not only translations, but also training pastors. Pastors need to be trained. And I cannot tell you the conversations that I have with pastors. Yesterday I was in a call with a pastor, and he's saying, we are not trained at all. We are not trained. And you can see from the questions that they ask you. They ask basic questions. And he's a pastor, and he's asking a very basic question. And I can tell you the need that is there. And I thank God that we've had great allies. We need to do conferences. We need a training center. We only have a few training centers in Africa, TMAI centers in Africa. And we need a solid TMAI in Kenya. This is when ARC organized a training workshop in Kenya. And we went there and we taught some of the pastors. That is Dr. Hargrove and Mark Z. I want to transition and say that in Romans, Paul writes and says, he is under obligation. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. In this way, for my part, I am eager to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul was under obligation. Paul was obliged to go to Rome to preach the gospel. And I know that God has laid it in my heart to go back to Kenya and preach and teach until he calls me home or until he comes for his church back. And everyone here has been called in one way or the other, to that great commission. We need to preach the gospel, whether we are abroad or away. There are some of those who will go, but some will have to hold the rope. Remember William Carey Benjamin? There are some who goes into the well, and there are some who hold the rope. And that is the desire that I have in my heart. Now, how can you partner with me? If anything, I want you guys to pray for me. And this, if this presentation did accomplish anything, I want you guys to pray for me. We need prayers. What is not accomplished through prayer either should not be done, or else it will not matter in eternity. What is not done through prayers, what is not accomplished through prayers should neither be done, or it will not even matter in eternity. And if you can do whatever you're doing without prayers, then whatever you're doing is not worth doing. Whatever you're doing without prayers, whatever you're doing without prayers, it's worthless. It will not count for eternity. And that is why I need you guys to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. And first and foremost, if you can pray for my sanctification, that as I head back, that God would keep me and grow me in holiness so that I can be a vessel that can be used for the sake of the kingdom. I want you to pray about that. Do not deny me that one desire that I am requesting you to do, to pray for me. Pray for much success through the gospel. Unless Yahweh builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Pray that God would grant fruit to all these ministries that are happening in Africa, in Kenya, in the Swahili world. And you can take part in that by praying. This is one of the best ways that you can serve. Pray for more servants. Again, I tried to get 3 M's. Pray more servants. Pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, would raise more laborers that would go to the field and go and take the gospel, go and engage in the work of translations, and go and engage in the work of training those pastors so that Christ might be known. And so that one day we will all, at that time, see all that God has saved, and we will all rejoice in heaven. And we can do that. We only have a few years, and you know, we just need to pray that, as the psalmist says, Solomon says that may he also have dominion from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. We need to pray until this happens. We need to pray until the Father fulfills the promise of giving the nations as an inheritance to the Son. We need to take the gospel forth until every knee bows down to Christ. And for that to happen, we must pray until Christ has dominion. And let us pray for one another. And let us, in waiting, wait for Him. I want to pray, but I'm going to pray in Swahili, if that is okay. Let us pray. Ewe Mwenyezi Mungu, Muumba wa bingu na ardhi, Mungu wa Ibrahimu, Isaka na Yakobo, usifiwe, utukuziwe na uinuliwe. Wewe ni mtakatifu na hakuna kama wewe. Makerubi wamekizunguka kiti chako cha enzi, maserafi hufunika nyuso zao na kuruka kwa mbawa mbili. Utubariki ewe Mungu kwa jina la Yesu Masia. Amina.